Hour number two, Four's Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and Jake Wallman with you here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Fun first hour. Had Colby Newton on, the author of SEC Football, How a Regional League Became a National Obsession. Talked to him about the SEC. We got Connor's SEC floor and ceilings during Newt's notes. A lot of good stuff. We're going to stay mostly focused on the NFL here in hour number two. We're going to give our preseason awards picks coming up at 10:15, go through MVP, offensive player, defensive player, rookies of the year, all that stuff coming up in the next segment. We'll also preview the Titans and Seahawks game coming up later from Nissan Stadium. But first, let's readdress our question of the day. Connor wanted to know, with Tavon Austin retiring this week and his legendary highlight mixtape from West Virginia getting put all over the internet once again, we want to know, who do you think has the most electric highlight reel of all time? We'll say no Tavon Austin. We said no Michael Jordan as well.
Michael Jordan is banned.
It's just too easy.
Too easy.
We have two people on our text line who have chimed in. Phil in Clarksville says, in order, Marshawn Lynch, Larry Bird, Barry Sanders. He said, no-brainer. Those are all good. I mean, Marshawn Lynch, just the Beastquake itself puts him in contention.
My favorite Marshawn Lynch highlight is when the Seahawks were down at the one in the Super Bowl, and they just didn't hand it to him.
It's a good one.
It's a great one.
Barry Sanders, also an electric highlight reel. And then another texter says Devin Hester, recent inductee into the Hall of Fame. That is certainly a strong highlight reel from Devin Hester. Connor Newt, why don't you go first here? Since you asked the question, who's in your mind as the most electric highlight reel of all time?
Of course, I didn't get Wildcat bias last segment when I gave you my floor and ceiling, so I'm going Wildcat bias this time. And I think you actually might agree with me. John Wall coming out of
college.
That's
a great one.
John Wall, highlight reel at Kentucky, just absolutely electric. The dance, he had it all. The dunks, the quickness. Miss it, lacking a little bit on the three-point shooting, but hence why they lost to Huggy and West Virginia. But anywho, John Wall, obviously number one pick in 2010, goes to the Washington Wizards, keeps it going. Unfortunately, injuries kind of derail his career. But a young John Wall, look it up, kids. I mean,
that's a great one.
It's a great highlight reel, great plays, just phenomenal dunks. Another one for me that comes to mind is Bo Jackson, just because you get a two-sport athlete, just a lightning-fast running back with the Raiders, and of course his baseball highlights has that off-the-wall catch that we see all the time. But if I had to pick one, it's John Wall out of Kentucky and the Washington Wizards, but mostly Kentucky. But yeah, John Wall is my pick.
That's a great one. Jake Wallman, who are you thinking of?
So I'm going to stay local. You don't have to go too far back. And Dalton Knecht with the Tennessee Vols.
Boo! Recency bias. I'm just kidding.
That is a bold take to put him at the top of this list, but very good player, for sure.
I mean, he had some shots last season where you were just watching him take those 34-foot threes, and they would hit nothing but net, and you would have to rewind it in the commercial break to just process what you just watched. And then Chris Johnson with the Titans.
I knew you were going CJ2K.
I had CJ2K on the mind. I was like, someone else is going to pick him.
I knew it was going to be one of the Jakes.
I mean, every time he touched the ball, he could go the distance.
As Gus Johnson says, he's got getting away from the cop speed.
Oh, my God.
That's one of the greatest.
We are 1 week away from Gus Johnson calling football games again.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness.
Fox!
I thought you said
Big Ten! Gus Johnson's the best. CJ2K was one of the first that came to mind. I got two college quarterbacks that I'm thinking of. I'll show my Hokie bias. All Michael Vick.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Vick's college highlights. There are some really good ones there. I mean, even from the national championship game against Florida State, there's a play where he, like, teleports away from a defensive lineman and just runs 80 yards to the end zone.
He was broken and Madden.
Love me some Michael Vick. I don't want to steal from you, Nick Frazier.
No, go ahead.
Johnny Football. Is that who you were thinking of?
No.
Okay,
wow.
Gotcha.
I thought you were going Johnny Football.
Johnny Manziel is up there, too. was it the Chick-fil-A Bowl that he was in maybe his senior year? He made a play in that game, ended up throwing a touchdown to Mike Evans, but getting away from the, from the pass rush. Like,
he jumped over the little like thing on the sideline. Yes.
Unbelievable. Those would be my two, Johnny Manziel, Michael Vick, two electric lefty quarterbacks.
Former
Johnny Manziel's already. Yeah.
Former Kentucky quarterback under Tim Coach Tebow. Newt, Alex Curl, is modeled after Johnny Manziel.
There we go.
94 speed, 96 throw power. Just unreal.
I love it.
Just naming off stats. I love it.
All right, Nick Frazier, you said you had your Bucky's selection of highlight reels. Who you got?
I do. This is way back in the day. I'm going Nate Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Robinson being, what, 5'5", 5'6", and he's out there dunking in the NBA.
The Knicks, baby.
That's a good one.
I'm a Knicks fan, so yes, that does kindle with my brain. Another one I have is Christian McCaffrey at Stanford.
Oh, yeah. My high school history teacher, he was a long snapper on Maryland in the Big Ten, and he told a story. They played, obviously, Christian McCaffrey was the returner, I believe,
yeah,
for punts. His story was he snapped the ball, McCaffrey grabs the return, literally hurdles over him, takes it to the casa.
He's incredible, man. Like back in, I mean, still is incredible now, but like at Stanford, returning punts, being in the backfield, in the passing game, everything. He was everything for that offense. And like, I have another one if I can continue my selections.
Of course, do it.
Okay, the next one is a little biased, but Dak Prescott at Mississippi State was it was an anomaly season.
Yeah.
They go college football rankings number one after they beat Auburn. I was at that game. I will always reiterate that. I was at that game. It was unbelievable. It was sunshines and rainbows at the start of the game. Started pouring down rain in the fourth quarter. Again, the coffee mug got thrown at me from the third deck. Almost probably had a concussion from it, but that's neither here nor there. Just his whole season in general, though, was incredible that year. I mean, you go down into Death Valley, and you go stiff-arm two linebackers on one play.
He's a tank, dude.
And you go score, what, a 30, 40-yard touchdown run? Like, you don't see that nowadays with college football quarterbacks. Like, it's all spread, and they're just tossing the rock around. Like, you don't have, like, a guy like a Michael Vick or a Dak Prescott
I'll throw a
Tim Tebow.
I'll throw a Kentucky quarterback at you.
Uh-oh.
Lynn Bowden Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
Hate that guy.
I was at that Vanderbilt game where he just ran all over everyone.
No, I was talking about the bowl game against Tech where he threw
the
a punch.
The Belk Bowl?
He threw a punch 5 minutes before the refs could throw him out, so he ended up playing and Kentucky beat Tech.
Oh, my goodness.
I was so annoyed. Like,
the Belk Bowl.
Yes, the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. Yeah, but that's a good one. He was an electric player.
He
can't
wasn't
deny
even
that.
A quarterback. I mean,
no.
He was. That was the year Terry Wilson got hurt. Then the backup got hurt, so he was the emergency quarterback coming in as a wide receiver. And he would throw for like maybe 80 yards a game, but then he'd rush for 180. So he was fun to watch.
I thought you were going to go Jared Lorenzen for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Big fat quarterback.
Big fat quarterback. Rest in peace.
Or Tim Couch.
Yeah.
Tim Couch. I wasn't around for Tim Couch.
But you could still find his highlight tape. So.
Yeah, probably somewhere.
I have two. And they're off the grid, obviously, in another country, but early and late 90s, basically that whole 90 to 99 era of soccer, two Italian players, Alessandro Del Piero and Andrea Pirlo, two of my favorite.
What about Pele?
I wasn't around for Pele. Like, it's soccer's a little different, man. But yeah, Del Piero, Francesco Totti, like those Italian players, they would take free kicks from outside the 18 box, which is, you know, the goalie box, outside the 18, and they'd just rip them. Like, it was just into the back of the net, and there were lasers, which you don't see nowadays with modern soccer because, you know, stats say, oh, if you just kick it into the box, put a head on it. Like, no, I wanted something exciting.
Yeah.
So I wish they would – it's kind of like a home run in baseball. I wish they'd bring that back.
Texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Allen Iverson high school football highlights.
Never seen that.
I have football. Not seen that either. I need to look that up. He grew up in Virginia, so
Allen Iverson in general is a great one.
That is true. Allen Iverson, anything he does – would probably be up there. Again, you can keep texting these in, 615-737-1025. Our question today, who has the most electric highlight reel of all time? I'll give you one more before we head to break. Megatron, Calvin Johnson.
Yes.
That's a good one. I was thinking about wide receivers. I was like, that dude was must-see TV for a long time.
I would go with prime Julio Jones.
That one's good, too. That one is good. Even prime Antonio Brown before the CTE. That was really fun. This is like the tweets where it's like, guys could just sit around naming random athletes.
We could do a full four-hour show.
We could do Stillman and Company on this from 2 to 6. So
whoever texts in Allen Iverson football highlights,
Nick's got them pulled up right now.
Thank you.
These are incredible.
We will watch these during the break. We have to get a break in here. When we come back, we're going to preview the NFL season and give our awards picks. MVP, offensive, defensive player of the year, offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. We'll get it all in next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow for coverage of the Fire Keepers Casino 400. Coverage will begin at 12:30 with the race starting at 1:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.
Chris Sanders would be so proud of this song right now. I've played it for them when I do NFL pregame, and he'll jam it. Can you stand the rain?
Even we're vibing.
Not raining right now.
Vibing here on this Saturday morning. Forrest Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. We're going to make our picks. Preseason NFL awards. Who is going to come home with the MVP, the offensive and defensive player of the year, and offensive and defensive rookie of the year? Let's go in kind of reverse order here. We'll end with the MVP. Let's start with the rookie awards. We'll go around the room, and if you have thoughts, you can get in on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start with Offensive Rookie of the Year. Nick Frazier, who do you think stands out there? A lot of good choices for this one.
Well, Connor Newton, the break, thought I was going to pick Ladd McConkey. That's not happening. I'm going to go.
Good, because I am. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, the obvious pick is Caleb Williams. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. Just because, like, I feel like there's too much hype around Caleb Williams. And also, Jaden Daniels had a really good preseason game the other day. If that's a little bit of a tell what's going to happen the rest of the 18 weeks of the season, I'm all for it.
Nice. I will go Malik Nabers. Why not? I think if the Giants have a good offense this year, he's the reason. It all depends on Daniel Jones, of course. But, I mean, no receiver taken this year has a great quarterback. Let's be honest.
This is true. Well, you don't know about Rome Odunze with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But he's kind of the third mouth to feed in that offense anyway. So I like Malik Nabers. I actually was thinking about Nabers. I am instead going to go with Brock Bowers, who also doesn't have a quarterback.
Whoa.
But I
thought you were going Harrison.
I just feel like Brock Bowers, he's just such a cheat code at tight end. I could be his quarterback, and I'm sure he'd still put up some decent numbers.
That's true.
I'm a big fan of Brock Bowers. I would have loved, as much as I love J.C. Latham, I would have loved if the commissioner came out and read with the 7th pick, the Tennessee Titans select Brock Bowers. I would have been 100% in.
My first ever Newt's Notes, I ran it about that.
Yeah.
You did.
First one.
I would have loved it. So I'm big on Brock Bowers. Yes, the Raiders have absolutely no one to throw him the football, but I still believe in Brock. Jake Wallman, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Nick Frazier's pick of Jaden Daniels. I've heard a lot of good things about him out of Commander's camp. They seem really high on him. I mean, plus he's the reigning Heisman winner, so why not, right?
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, to elaborate on that, Terry McLaurin, who's kind of had good seasons with the Commanders, but at the same time hasn't had a consistent true quarterback. So now that you have a Jaden Daniels, you're able to use that and utilize those options. Also, you can't forget about Jahad Dotson.
That whole court.
Yeah.
Deami Brown, too.
Deami Brown had a really good preseason game the other day. I mean, don't forget about the running back room as well. Brian Robinson Jr.
And Austin Eckler.
Many men.
I am a Brian Robinson fantasy owner.
Oh, as am
wow.
I.
So.
Yeah. I'm trying to sell him.
Let me throw another one.
But yes, I am on there.
Let me throw another one out there. Xavier Worthy.
Sneaky guy there.
Sneaky,
yeah.
Yes.
Keon Coleman also a sneaky guy just because the Bills have no one else at wide receiver.
Xavier Leggett.
Well, currently,
the countryest boy on the Carolina Panthers.
And he says he's not country.
Yeah.
How about that?
Have you heard? That's so funny.
I need a mic'd up podcast between Jameis Winston and Xavier Leggett. That would be the greatest
thing
ever.
That would be good. Let's go quickly here. Defensive Rookie of the Year. Frazier, take it away.
Tough one. I'm going to go Dallas Turner. I think with all the unfortunate, you know, events that have happened with the Vikings, I mean, they got to have some upside to their season. I mean, it doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs after all these unfortunate events. But I'm taking Dallas Turner. I think he's going to be good on the defensive side of the ball for them. Going to bring a lot of pass rush. I don't see why not. I mean, you have all those, obviously, the Byron Murphys, the Latu. Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name right.
Yeah.
Like, big defense there in Indianapolis. Could it be too much? I just trying not to be in the mainstream of it because those mainstream picks seem to really not pan out for you in the long run.
Dallas Turner slipped in the draft, but could still be the defensive rookie of the year. Connor Newt, what you thinking?
I'm going to go with the man, Cooper DeJean.
Wow.
Mm. Out of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's an honor to pick Cooper DeJean, given his position. I am high on Cooper DeJean.
He's a good player.
Good player.
Really good player.
In a great defense. I mean, I think he has all the tools to stand out. I really do.
I will go with his teammate and the Eagles' first-round pick, Quinyon Mitchell, out of Toledo. I think he's going to have a big year. You know, Eagles kind of revamping that secondary this year. I like Quinyon Mitchell. Nick Saban couldn't get him out of the portal as we went through during draft weekend. I think he's going to have a big year. Jake Wallman, who you got for Defensive Rookie of the Year?
The member of the all-name team, Chop Robinson.
Yes.
Good one.
How about that?
Chop Robinson, lots of good all-name teams. If you missed all of the college football all-name teams, go listen to Willie and D-Mace yesterday. Me and Derek had some fun with that.
That was awesome.
Let's go into Offensive Player of the Year. I will start us off here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I said it last week when we were going through our fantasy.
Will
sleepers.
Levis.
I am big time in on Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson is the Offensive Player of the Year this year. With Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football, I think he puts up 1,400 yards and goes off.
Bold.
Big year for Garrett Wilson. He's the Offensive Player of the Year.
That is a bold statement.
That's a really good pick, honestly. I like that pick a lot. Connor, you might have to go. I'm trying to think now.
Okay.
I don't want to go quarterback because it's such a quarterback-driven league, but yet wide receiver does sound like a good option.
I'm going wide receiver, too.
Go ahead.
Because my mom and my brother are diehard Cowboys fans. I hate them, but I'll go CeeDee Lamb.
Man, if he does that, cashes in.
They're still getting bounced in the first round.
He'd get so much money.
They're getting bounced in the first round if they make the playoffs. But I like the way Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have that connection. Mm-hmm. I like the Cowboys offense, minus the running back part, because they don't have one, not named Ezekiel Elliott, who is not the same Zeke as he was five years ago. But I like CeeDee Lamb. Give me CeeDee Lamb. He's your number one guy. I mean, they're going to spread the wealth, but CeeDee Lamb, if I need a quick first down, that's who I'm going to. So, CeeDee Lamb, Offensive Player of the Year.
Two wide receivers so far. Dr. Crane, do you have one ready?
Gosh, this is tough. I do want to go wide receiver. I don't want to take like a comeback player of the year, but oh my goodness, this is tough. I mean, I wasn't going to go Garrett Wilson, but I mean, there's so many options to pick from. I think I'm going to go Green Bay. I think this is a bit of a flyer pick. No, I'm not going Green Bay. I'm
going Green Bay. I was wondering where are you going in Green Bay?
I
just faded everybody. I'm sorry. I'm
going to go Josh Jacobs, man.
Kyler Murray.
I'm going to take the safe pick and go probably either Amon-Ra or Jahmyr Gibbs.
I like Amon-Ra.
Am I the only one picking the quarterback?
Yeah, who are you going with?
So.
As much as I hate to do it, because I think this guy wins every award when it comes to quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, it's a safe pick. I would say that odds are he's going to be in contention for it.
It's true.
So. I knew I shouldn't have picked a Cowboy because now my mom is blowing me up. Go Cowboys.
None of us mentioned it, but could this be a Lamar Jackson type year?
It could be. I mean, he won the MVP last year.
It's true.
So, I was thinking that.
Because like you now have Derrick Henry, and it takes off a little bit of pressure on Lamar Jackson's shoulders for the point of you don't have to throw the ball or run the ball every game. So, I don't know. That might be a little flyer pick as well.
All right, two more to go. We got to go a little quicker here. Defensive Player of the Year, Connor Newt, start us off.
I mean, I'll go with the save option. TJ Watt.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, he's always going to have.
It was either TJ Watt or Micah Parsons in my mind, and I can't pick two Cowboys in a row.
So. I'm going Micah Parsons. So there we go.
Yes, that's where I was headed. I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Myles Garrett.
That's a good one.
Three pass rushers, and honestly, maybe the three best pass rushers in the league. Jake Wallman, are you going off the board with us here?
I am. Aiden Hutchinson.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Lions, and I really like Dan Campbell biting off kneecaps, chewing bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Cam Dable, as we call him.
Four big-time pass rushers. We're going to have to keep track of the sack numbers this year for those four guys. We'll wrap it up with MVP. I think we're all going quarterbacks here.
Probably.
Is that
it's a quarterback, fair to say?
Yeah. I would assume, Jake, since you went Offensive Player of the Year, Mahomes?
I'm going, and this could be a good candidate for Comeback Player of the Year, Joe Burrow.
Ah, man.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Nick Frazier, which is Kyler Murray going to bring home the MVP?
No, but I am going to go off the grid again with another pick. I'm going to take Jordan Love.
There, wow. Now you're going to Green Bay.
Yeah, now I'm going to Green Bay. Just throw it out there. It's not going to happen, but I'm going to go Jordan Love.
No, that's a good pick. I like that. Connor Newt?
I'm going to take a wild card here. C.J. Stroud.
Ooh.
You know, second-year quarterbacks, they've done it a good amount in the past. We saw it from Patrick Mahomes. We saw it from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Aren't you worried about that sophomore slump?
C.J. Stroud.
Not the way he played last year. And they've somehow gotten more weapons. Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Nico Collins is back. Tank Dell. I mean, what does he not have? Joe Mixon is his running back. He's got it all, man.
Well, none of us are going to go with probably the two favorites, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, so we might be stupid. I'm going with Josh Allen.
Ooh. Oh.
And the reason I'm going with Josh Allen is because the team around him has gotten so much worse that if he leads them to win that division over the Jets and the Dolphins, who else would deserve it? If he's able to get that team back to the playoffs with the receiving core he's got around him and all of the losses that they had, lost both of their top two safeties, give me Josh Allen, most valuable player.
My mom says, go Cowboys to you, Jake.
There we go.
There you go.
Picking Micah Parsons.
You get Miss Newt's approval.
There are picks for NFL awards in the preseason. If you have thoughts, you can let us know. 615-737-1025. When we come back, we're going to get back into Titans talk. Titans and Seahawks preseason game number 2 coming up 6 o'clock over at Nissan Stadium. We'll preview it up next. You're on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in studio. Jake Wallman at the controls behind the glass. Been a fun show so far. Just gave our NFL awards picks here in the preseason. We've got preseason football tonight over across the Cumberland. Titans Seahawks, 6 p.m. kick for game 2 of the preseason. We're going to preview it a little bit here. We'll make our picks coming up in the final segment. And we've been reminded we have not done nutrition yet. That will come up in our final segment as well. But let's take a look at tonight's game. A little bit of a damper on this one because we know we are not seeing the starters tonight, at least most of them. As we talked about yesterday a little bit, we might see some guys who are starting but not starters, to use a Jared Stillman reference there.
Your voice needs to be higher than that.
Starting, not starters.
Starting, but not starters.
So maybe we see the right side of that offensive line, Dylan Raidens, Nicholas Petit-Frere. I was mentioning I kind of want to see the tight ends for a little bit, and maybe some of the guys on defense. But what are you guys looking for in a game where you're not going to see much of the top-end talent for the Titans? It's going to be more about depth tonight, and we can see what the Titans have further down on the roster.
You know, I mentioned it yesterday, Jake, with the midday show when you filled in. It's the pass rush for me. I need to see some depth out of the pass rush just because nobody knows the future of Arden Key, if it is going to be a suspension, if it's not going to be a suspension. That's just my biggest, like, not pet peeve, but my biggest concern right now is, does this pass rush have some depth? Not sure if Tavondre Sweat's going to be playing a lot tonight. If he does, I'd like to see how much the double team is on the offensive line that's going to, if he's going to take up more of a double team and have more of the pass rushers take more on, you know, more emphasis on, rushing the quarterback. If that's going to be a case, but it just depends on that front. If that defensive front is going to be pressuring, if not, then I have to lean towards the defensive backs.
Yeah, I stole the words out of my mouth. I'm going secondary.
Okay.
I need to see it, especially we needed to see it last week with L'Jarius Sneed being out, Jadobe Awuzie, Roger McCreary, I assume, is not playing tonight. So that means you get a little bit of Jarvis Brownlee in there. You get a little Trey Avery. You get Eric Gehrer, maybe. I don't know. But I want to see depth in this secondary. That's what I'm looking for, especially if we're going to have injury issues with Sneed and Awuzie I need to see guys step up in the secondary so we can have that depth. So when one of those is out, we can plug them in. You're fine.
I'm with you.
I'll go with probably two of the trendier position groups that we've been hearing a lot about. Wide receiver.
Yes.
We're not going to see the top end of the depth chart here. He said not starters, so I assume that means no Treylon Burks. I would assume
Westbrook.
Maybe we see NWI. I would like if they put Burks and NWI out there for one series just to give Malik Willis, you know, some decent options out there for his first drive. I don't want to see a lot of them, obviously.
I want to see Jaquan for sure.
But I think the big three that I'm going to be looking at, Kyle Phillips, if he plays, he didn't practice a lot this week, so he might not even be out there.
He's got a hamstring, is what they were saying at the press conference.
Gotcha. So, yeah, probably no Kyle Phillips. I would say this big three then, Jaquan Jackson, Kiaris Jackson, Mason Kinsey. I want to see those three guys. What can they do not only as receivers but also in the return game? We saw the two big returns for the Titans last weekend. I'd love to see a little bit more of that. And linebackers. I think that is where a lot of my eyes are going – my two eyes are going to go a lot of the time.
Who sits in the lineup? No Dr. Gibby tonight, you think?
Probably no Dr. Gibby, no Kenneth Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Chance a lot Campbell. Of Chance Campbell, a lot of Otis Reese, a lot of Cedric Gray.
Hurt.
He's been hurt too.
Yeah.
Man.
So they're a little limited.
I'd like to see Cedric Gray more because I feel like we all kind of jumped on, like, this guy can be
the
green dot next to Kenneth Murray. And honestly, I can't remember hearing anything about Cedric Gray in camp so far.
Yeah.
Kenneth Murray's been awesome, at least, which it has been a welcome surprise. But I'm excited to see Otis Reese and Chance Campbell for the most part. I think those guys could be not only depth options, but maybe they surpass Jack Gibbons as a guy who can play next to Kenneth Murray.
Otis Reese is very interesting to me.
Dude flies around.
I think he's a dark horse to make this team at the interior. I really do. I said that last week with the game. That was one of my main takeaways. Otis Reese flies. Tackle machine.
He had those two back-to-back plays in the preseason game where it's like he popped on tape immediately. So
he looked really good in practice on Thursday, too.
Him and Chance Campbell, I hope they get a lot of run tonight because I think those guys are two guys who we've been hearing it. Jared, his little one-minute thing we'll do during commercial breaks, he wants to see Chance Campbell get bumped up to the ones, and I'd love to see it. This guy's been playing so well. Give him a chance against the top-level talent and see if he can hold up, and maybe we'll see more of that next week. Jake, you looking for anything specific tonight against the Seahawks?
Yes, and it's both on the offensive side of the ball. I want to see how the reserves on the line play. I know Will Levis isn't playing, but these guys could be called on, you know, in a critical week eight game where you have to win in the division. And, you know, I mean, Jared said it this week, you know, you could win a game last year with Aaron Brewer, 2 years ago with Aaron Brewer. So who on the offensive line in the second and third string can you call upon to win a game? And then Malik Willis and Mason Rudolph, the battle between those two. Who's going to be the second-string guy going into week one? And I think it can be Malik Willis.
I think it could, too.
Interesting.
I know that Mason Rudolph was brought here to be the second-string guy, but I don't know if he has it.
And the way I kind of look at it is if Will Levis goes down and misses a series or two, Mason Rudolph is the guy. But if Will Levis goes down and misses the rest of the season, why not throw Malik in there? What would be the point of having Mason Rudolph in there? Like, you're not winning games with either of them. I hate to say it, but whoever goes in, if Will Levis gets hurt, I would rather see the high upside Malik Willis and just see what he can do at this point 3 years in.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm leaning still towards Mason Rudolph just because of the veteran experience, especially like if a quarterback does go down. Like, he has that... not like, oh, no, like, I'm going in the game. Like, you know, the flustered look. I just think for Malik Willis' sake, he's just getting good tape for other teams at this point. That's just my opinion. I'm not buying into the Malik Willis stock. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he, you know, knows the game of football pretty well. But, like, I just don't think it's a good fit for him here in Nashville.
Fair point. It's a fair point. I don't have any hopes for Malik Willis being impactful for the Titans. But, you know, if Will Levis... God forbid, got hurt in week one, I don't need to see 16 games of Mason Rudolph. At least 16 games of Malik Willis, we might get some fun highlights out of it.
It's true.
Great highlight reel.
Exactly. Like, we might get to see a couple of long runs or, like, deep throws. Like, because I mean, Malik Willis will drop a ball in the bucket every once in a while down the field.
It's true.
Mason Rudolph, I'm sure, can too, but I don't know. Malik Willis sounds more fun to me if we have to watch 16 games of bad football at that point.
It's fair. It's fair. I mean, he's got an arm like Joe Milton.
It's true.
Not wrong.
It's true. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. We will take our final break. When we come back, we'll hit nutrition. We'll get our weekend picks in. We'll wrap up the show here on Forest Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Wrapping up the show here on this Saturday morning, Ford's Company, 1025-1063 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Going to make our picks here for Titans and Seahawks. I had a decision on our second game, but while I'm trying to think of a way to replace it, Connor Newt, nutrition. Latest we've ever done it, but let's make sure we get it in.
Nutrition.
I need to make a theme song for that, too. I made my own for Newt's Notes.
Nutrition.
Nutrition. Nutrition was not nutritional today at all. So Crumble Cookie, you guys know that, right?
Obviously. Yes.
Yes.
They made a cereal.
Oh.
If you ever had Cookie Crisp, it's basically that with Crumble branding. But I had that this morning because I was kind of in a rush, and I was like, it's there. I've never had it. It was not bad. It wasn't good, but it was not bad. Zero protein in it whatsoever.
No nutritional value.
Just pure sugar, but not good for you. Kids, if you're listening, I don't let your mommy and daddy buy this cereal. Stick to the
It's a Sunday type breakfast for a weekend.
It's as The Rock says, it's Sunday cheat day. So
did you eat the chocolatey chip cookie?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did.
Wow.
$5.29, not too shabby. That's a little pricey for some cereal. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it. Hey.
Oreos. I'm all about that.
There's the Oreo O's.
Yeah.
Whatever they're called.
Like Veggios and all
SpaghettiOs.
All right, we're on a tangent. Sorry.
So let's do our picks.
My bad.
We got a few minutes here. Get our picks in. Titans Seahawks, game two of the preseason. I believe most of us picked the Titans last week.
We all did.
Mm-hmm. So we went 4-0 on that one. Are we sticking with the homer mentality this week
for
a preseason game? No? Seahawks, Connor?
I'm going Seahawks. I don't know if the Seahawks are playing starters either, but...
They are not.
Seahawks probably have a little bit more depth than the Titans do, I would think. So I'll go Seahawks. It's not a huge deal if the Titans lose a preseason game with no starters to me, but yeah, we'll see. My gut says Seahawks.
Next week we will pick actual football games. We have four college football games next week, so we will pick those, and they will actually mean something. It'll be great.
It just means more.
Nick Frazier, are you taking the Titans?
I think I am. And I am. Yes, I am. I was thinking about it. I am. Yes. Just because I'm going to stay optimistic about the Titans. I think there's second string guys, third string guys. Maybe they're a little bit better than the Seahawks. Like I want to
see it.
I want to have a little optimism for the hometown team. I'm not trying to be a homer about that pick, but I just want to have a little bit of optimism.
I will go Seahawks purely for the reason that I think Sam Howell is a better quarterback than Malik Willis. That is really the only reason. And Jake Bobo is a really good receiver too. I'm excited to see him play for the Seahawks.
Jake Bobo. All name team.
I think I'm going to go Seahawks as well. I think defensively they've got a lot more playmakers than the Titans do. And that's not saying that the Titans are bad on defense.
Yeah.
They just don't have a lot of playmakers. So
we've turned on the Titans this week. Three of us going Seahawks. We'll see if the Titans
heel turn
can get to 2-0 in the preseason. Massive game tonight at 6 p.m. over at Nissan Stadium. I had written down Little League World Series as our second pick, and let's just go with it here.
Okay.
I'm looking at the bracket. I was hoping they'd have the state names listed out, but they only have the region names listed, and I just don't have time to go search through to find out who all these states are. So I don't believe Tennessee is in it this year.
I know they did beat Georgia in a comeback game. See. They put Kirby Smart's kid on the mound. And
Kirby Smart's kid? Oh, wow.
And Tennessee lit him up.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It's the only time Tennessee is lighting up Kirby Smart's family this year.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Let me look.
We'll maybe see.
Southeast. Southeast is Florida. So Tennessee did not make it this year.
I don't know if I can go with that.
I think they lost to Georgia in their regional, I believe, in Warner Robins, Georgia.
Yeah, Warner Robins wins every year. Yeah, Nolensville was the they've been there the last 2 years before this, so was a local team, but not this year. Okay, I can read you the team names now. So the West is Hawaii, Southwest is Texas, Southeast is Florida, Northwest is Washington, New England is New Hampshire, Mountain is Nevada, Midwest is South Dakota, Mid-Atlantic, Pennsylvania, Metro is New York, and the Great Lakes is Illinois. Anything standing out there for you on who might win the Little League World Series this year?
Not a thing.
Right now, I can tell you in the winner's bracket, it's the Mountain, so Nevada, and the West, Hawaii, against the South, and then the other side of the bracket, Southeast Florida, Southwest Texas. So the four teams on the U.S. side in the winner's bracket, Nevada, California, Florida, Texas.
I like Texas. Give me Texas.
Go with Texas. Texas Whatever. Won.
Don't mess with Texas.
They won 9-0 in their first game yesterday.
Give me Mexico if they're still in it.
Mexico. Because Mexico's in the losers bracket now.
Never mind.
But they are still alive. If you want to take them,
sure.
Take Canada, bud.
No, I'm taking Mexico. They got some pitchers.
Canada
is
also in the losers.
They threw a no-hitter the other day. That's why I'm so
and lost.
Yeah, no. They threw a no-hitter against the Caribbean team, yes. And then Venezuela beat them 10-0 yesterday.
It's comeback season. Throw a no-no and lose.
No, they.
You know they won. They won.
They won that game.
They won.
I'm saying hypothetically.
Oh, you could, yeah. There's a minor league team that's done that against the Chattanooga Lookouts, I believe.
Yes, it's happened before.
Yeah.
Wow.
Walked in a run.
Learn something new every day.
I will go with Hawaii. I feel like Hawaii is always pretty good in this thing. Whatever they've got in Little League over there, they're always in like the semifinals or whatever it is. So I'll go Hawaii. Jake Wallman, who you got?
Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah. Horns up.
No.
I hope our audience knows more about Little League Baseball than they did 3 minutes ago. I'm not sure that we do. Wild card. Let's finish it off here. Nick Frazier.
Yes, I'm going to the UFC Octagon, UFC 305 tonight, Duplessis versus Adesanya. This is going to be an interesting fight. Obviously, Adesanya is 5 years older. There's been a lot of banter between these two. I want to lean towards Duplessis, but at the same time, it's a style bender. Israel Adesanya. I got to go with Adesanya. I think he does get the job done. It's a pick'em. It's really a pick'em at this point. Adesanya has been kind of the guy that's always been at the top of his game. This could be the last ride against Duplessis for this, so I'm going with that.
First fight for the style bender in almost a year now, yeah. So excited for that. Connor Newt, you got your wild card?
In true desperation, as this is the last week with no football, I'm going to the W, the WNBA.
The W?
Tomorrow... Seattle Storm, Indiana Fever. Give me the Fever to upset.
Caitlin Clark. She had a 29 points last night or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, had a big night.
I noticed this morning that it's the second. She's tied for second, ninth most. She's had 9 games with like over 20 points.
Generational.
A certain amount of assists and steals. She's tied for second all time.
And we didn't talk about the women's gold medal game on Sunday last week. Heck of a game. On the line deciding whether it goes to overtime. Gabby Williams, I believe, for France, former UConn player, played unbelievable. France gave the U.S. everything they could handle, but an eighth straight gold medal for America. So that was fun. And you can only assume that Caitlin Clark will be a part of the team in L.A. in 2028. My wild card, I said this yesterday as one of my take it to the banks, Tigers play the Yankees in the Little League Classic on Sunday, so going to Williamsport. And Tarek Skubal's on the mound for the Tigers, and the Tigers pretty much only win when Tarek Skubal's on the mound. So I will go with the Tigers to beat the Yankees on Sunday.
Torkelson back in the lineup.
Torkelson's back, called up 2 prospects yesterday. The Tigers not making the playoffs this year, but the future is starting to look brighter.
Next-gen Tigers.
My wild card is Hendon Hooker. Hopefully get some PT with the Lions playing Kansas City today, and I have the Lions.
Okay.
There we go. Hendon Hooker, former Vol, former Hokie, playing the preseason today. That wraps up the show here on Four's Company. Fun one today. with Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman. I'm Jake Lyman. Enjoy the game tonight, guys. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week here on Forest Company 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
See ya.